The reading this morning is written in John's Gospel, chapter 12. And that's on page 1079 in the Church Bibles. John chapter 12, starting at verse 1. 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, where Lazarus lived, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. And continuing at verse 9. Meanwhile, a large crowd of Jews found out that Jesus was there and came, not only because of him, but also to see Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. So the chief priests made plans to kill Lazarus as well, for on account of him, many of the Jews were going over to Jesus and believing in him. The next day, the great crowd that had come for the festival heard that Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem. They took palm branches and went out to meet him, shouting, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Blessed is the King of Israel!" Jesus found a young donkey and sat upon it, as it is written, "Do not be afraid, daughter Zion. See, your king is coming, seated on a donkey's colt." At first, his disciples did not understand all this. Only after Jesus was glorified did they realize that these things had been written about him and that these things had been done to him. Now the crowd that was with him when he called Lazarus from the tomb and raised him from the dead continued to spread the word. Many people, because they had heard that he had performed this sign, went out to meet him. So the Pharisees said to one another, "See, this is getting us nowhere. Look how the whole world has gone after him." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you very much, Hannah. Let's pray, shall we? Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the Bible, for your words. And we know they're your words for us today. And we ask that by your Holy Spirit, you would help us to listen and to hear and to receive what you've got to say to each of us today. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So, well, we now know it's Palm Sunday today. So just a quick show of hands. When you think of Palm Sunday, what do you most associate with Palm Sunday? Is it put your hands up if you think it's the branches, the palm branches? Ooh, nobody. Okay. Oh, just one or two. Okay. What about the donkey? Oh, a few more donkeys. Okay. Hosanna. What about that? Okay. What about the palm cross? Well, you know, that's not everybody. What else then? Have I forgotten? Okay. We might have to wake a few of you up. Okay. Let's start in a different place, shall we? Well, for me, actually, it is the Palm Cross because, you know, I look forward to the Palm Sunday, going home every year, taking this, and we put it on our window looking out to the street as we prepare for Easter and people can see that this house is a house where we worship Jesus. Maybe that's something you want to do yourself. So Palm Sunday, well, Matthew, Mark, Luke and John, who are the writers of the four biographies, or we call the Gospels in the Bible, they all thought Palm Sunday was really important because all four of them include it in their account. Well, why did Palm Sunday happen? Why did it happen on what we call Palm Sunday? What caused the procession and all the cheering to happen then? Well, one correct answer is that Jesus decided it should happen on that day. He knew that this was the right time for him to, you know, make some really intentional statements about who he was and what he was coming to do. But what event sort of led up to that being the right time for him? How did he get the crowds together? Well, the writer John tells us in verse 1 that there was a big festival going on called the Passover. You may have heard of that. The Passover was where the Jewish people once a year celebrated how God, through Moses, about 1500 years before Jesus, had rescued the Israelite people from captivity in Egypt. And so every year they came to Jerusalem in their thousands to celebrate that. But how did all the people, the crowds, know to crowd around Jesus where he was? Because, you know, there wasn't like mobile phones or social media. You know, no one could sort of post something which said, you know, meet him at McDonald's on the Bethany Jerusalem Road at 12 o'clock on Palm Sunday. That wasn't around. And actually, we know from verse 54 in the chapter before, chapter 11, that Jesus had been keeping his head down for quite a while. It said, therefore, Jesus no longer moved about publicly among the people of Judea. Instead, he withdrew to a region near the wilderness. So why did Palm Sunday happen? Well, John tells us that the trigger for Palm Sunday was the resurrection. No, not Jesus' resurrection. That's next week. Come back for that. But Lazarus' resurrection. Lazarus was a really good friend of Jesus. John tells us that in verse 1 and verse 9, that Jesus, having been, you know, out in the wilderness for some while, suddenly, unexpectedly attended a party, a dinner party, that had been thrown for him in celebration of raising Lazarus from the dead. Let me read verse 1 and 9 again. 6 days before the Passover, so that's the Saturday, Jesus came to Bethany where Lazarus lived, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. And it goes on to talk about the dinner party. Verse 9, meanwhile, a large crowd of Jews found out that Jesus was there and came not only because of him, but also to see Lazarus, whom he'd raised from the dead. So it seemed that a few people, or the message had sneaked out from the party that evening, and that people were beginning to gather round because they wanted to see Jesus, the man who had done this incredible miracle in raising Lazarus. And people wanted to see Lazarus as well, because quite expectedly, I guess, you know, he was a celebrity in his own right. Well, at the Christianity Explore course last Wednesday, we were talking about all the amazing things that Jesus has done or did when he was here, and all the miracles. And we sort of agreed that we thought that Jesus bringing people back from the dead was the most jaw-dropping of things that he did. And it seems that the people in our story felt exactly the same thing, that Jesus resurrecting his friend Lazarus was, you know, sensational. Particularly because we're told that Lazarus had been dead for 4 days when Jesus raised him. So the trigger for what happened next, just as Jesus wanted it to be, was his raising Lazarus from the dead and then the party that followed. And then verse 12 and 13 tells us, the next day the great crowd that had come for the festival, that's Passover, heard that Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem. They took palm branches and went out to meet him, shouting, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the King of Israel. So now we have a crowd of people coming up from Jerusalem to meet Jesus, as well as the crowd that's already with him in Bethany where the party was. And I guess maybe the night before or that morning, somebody in Bethany said, you know, run down the 2 miles down the road to Jerusalem and tell the people Jesus has surfaced. Jesus is on the move. The king is coming and whipping up the crowd, maybe. Anyway, John tells us that the crowd get very excited. Three things particularly. They break off those palm branches and wave them around, lay them on the floor, we hear in other Gospels. They shout, Hosanna! And they shout, Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the King of Israel. Well, what's going on there? Well, essentially the crowd are heralding, they're welcoming, as Sarah said in our prayers, they're welcoming Jesus as the new King of Israel. They think he's come to save them from the occupying Roman Empire. They think he's coming to free them, free Israel to its former glory in the wonder years under King David and King Solomon, that sort of thing. They think he's the promised King of God that God had promised for years, who we call the Messiah or the Christ. It's the same word in Hebrew or Greek. So, but let's just get a little bit of a deeper understanding of that summary, shall we? The waving, the laying of the palm trees and palm branches on the road was a way of recognising for the Jewish people at that time, welcoming a conquering king. Palms symbolically conveyed victory over an enemy. So as they're waving their palm branches, they're saying, Jesus, you're going to overthrow the Romans. That's what they thought. And the Hosanna and the blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Well, that's taken from a bit of the Old Testament, the part of the Bible before Jesus, a psalm, Psalm 118. And that was like a song that they used to sing in their worship. Like we sing our hymns and our songs today, they used to sing psalms. And that Psalm 118 is a song of praise and thanksgiving to God for rescuing the people, the Jewish people, from an earlier traumatic event. The psalm tells us that God, the people shouted out, Hosanna. But that meant, save us, God. Salvation now, save us. Like immediately, it's a plea. They were pleading to God in that psalm. Well, how does that fit with the Hosanna that they shout out to Jesus? Because that's a joyful Hosanna, isn't it? That's a hooray, Jesus. Well, Psalm 118 goes on to tell us that God answered their plea, and he did deliver them, he did save them. And so by the time Jesus was around, the meaning of the word Hosanna had changed. It's still translated as God save us. It sounded like a plea, but it actually became a word which recognized they'd already been saved. Hosanna, hooray, Jesus, here he comes on the horse, on the donkey, he's going to save us. So add that Hosanna to the thanks of blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, which is in, also in Psalm 118. And then, I don't know, it's a bit of dramatic license by the crowd. They then add on, blessed is the King of Israel on top of that. You add all that together and they are saying, Jesus is their new king. This is the promised Messiah. This is the promised Christ sent by God to put everything right that is wrong in the world. And significantly, as Jesus has, he's decided this is the time for him to go big, to go public. He's quite happy to receive all of that acclaim that he is the king, which is quite incredible because earlier in, we read in the Bible that he used to slip away or he told people not to say things because this was his time. They thought he was the coming king, and he was. But what the people didn't realise, and what Jesus knew, was that he wasn't coming to overcome the Romans. He wasn't coming to release Israel through some sort of military force. But he had given them a clue, and that's where the second prophecy from the Old Testament that John mentions comes in. He says in verse 14, Jesus found a young donkey and sat on it. Let's just leave it there for a second. You know, so Jesus sat on a donkey, that's a reported fact, and that's all that the crowd would have had. Jesus on a donkey. Well, what was that about? You know, was Jesus' feet, were they just aching, so he decided to sit on a donkey? Maybe he was somehow referencing hundreds of years earlier how King Solomon came, when he took up his kingship, he rode on a mule. But a mule's bigger than a donkey, and this, we're told in the Bible, it's a baby donkey. Well, do you know what? I love the way that John writes in verse 16. At first, his disciples did not understand all this. It's always very helpful to us when we read that the disciples didn't get everything themselves. So for our help, John adds this prophecy, which the people wouldn't have known about, but he adds it for us. And so it's written, do not be afraid, daughter Zion. Daughter Zion is another way of saying the people of Jerusalem. Do not be afraid, daughter Zion. See, your king is coming, seated on a donkey's colt. Zechariah is the penultimate book in the Old Testament. It's a prophecy to the people of Israel in another difficult time. They'd come back from the exile in Babylon. Things weren't going well. And they were crying out to God. And Zechariah, the prophet who wrote down, heard from God. And he said, don't worry, the Messiah King will come. It was a prophecy of hope. The Messiah will come and put things right, and God will dwell amongst us again. But Zechariah emphasized in that prophecy that the Messiah that come would not be a military type of king, but a humble and righteous king, a shepherd king, who would come in peace on a donkey. That's why Jesus used the donkey, trying to indicate to people that he was coming peacefully. Maybe that's why some people got disappointed and let down by Jesus, because they thought he was going to knock over the Romans. But in fact, He gets arrested and he seems to lose as he is crucified on Good Friday. But Jesus was saying that the way he would save Israel, the way that he would save the world, you and me, was not by overcoming his enemies by military force, but by going to the cross and dying for them. And we know from the rest of the Bible that Jesus was going to Jerusalem to be betrayed and captured. He was going to Jerusalem to die. He was going to Jerusalem to be resurrected. He was going to bring about that first wonderful Easter and to be glorified through his death and his resurrection and his ascension to heaven. King Jesus knew all of this as he entered Jerusalem on that donkey. So Palm Sunday started as a celebration of a resurrection, of Jesus raising Lazarus. It continued with Jesus showing how he intended to save us and then pointed to his much greater resurrection of Jesus himself that proved that he accomplished what he set out to do. Well, what does all that tell us? What does that remind us about Jesus that we can take away this morning and remember? Well, first of all, we know that Jesus is the King who saves. He is the mighty King. He's the King who calms storms and drives out demons and heals sick people and raises dead people to life. He is that mighty God. But at the same time, he is the King who willingly and humbly gives up his power to his enemies, allows himself to be falsely accused and judged and executed. He allows his death so as to take the punishment of his enemies, the punishment that they deserve, that you deserve, that I deserve, because of our rebellion against him, our sin. John says earlier in his book, in chapter 3, verse 17, that God didn't send Jesus into the world to condemn the world, to overthrow the world, but to save the world through him. Jesus died for the sin of everyone, you and me. And if you cry out in belief, Jesus, save me, you can celebrate, you can say Hosanna, because he's already done it. Secondly, we know that Jesus is the humble King who brings peace. Simply, it is only through Jesus' humility, seen ultimately on the cross, by his death on the cross, that we can have an eternal peace, that we can have a restored relationship with God the Father because of what Jesus has done for us, has bought for us, has won for us on the cross. Thirdly, we know that Jesus is the resurrected King who lives. It's amazing that Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead, but he was prolonging Lazarus' life. Lazarus died again. Jesus' resurrection was the third, we're told in the Bible, was the first of the new creation, a body that will never die. The Bible says that if we believe and trust in Jesus, that when Jesus returns, you know, we'll have that same incorruptible, glorious body as Jesus forever. And then fourthly, Jesus is the King to believe or reject. Verses 9 and 10 of our passage and 17 to 19, the sort of bookends of the Hosanna bit in the middle, well, they say similar things. They describe that essentially there are two ways to respond to Jesus. It tells us that some people believed in Jesus. They were going over to Jesus, it says in verse 11. They were spreading the word of Jesus, it says in verse 17. And you know, many of them came through the trauma and the doubts of Good Friday to celebrate the risen Jesus on that first Easter Sunday. And they later go out in the power of the Holy Spirit to spread the word of Jesus. And so 2,000 years later, you and I who know Jesus can be here worshipping him. Some believed, but some, like the chief priests and the Pharisees, we're told by John, they rejected Jesus, as did many more people on that Good Friday when they shouted, "Crucify him." This is what John does when he writes. He lets us see the two sides clearly. We either believe or we reject Jesus. He shows us who Jesus is and what Jesus has done for us. You know, the saving, peace-winning, resurrected King who offers us forgiveness of sins, who gives us hope after death, gives us the promise of eternal life. John shows us that. That's what Jesus gives us, offers us. But we have to make a decision. Do we accept that free gift of his grace, of his love? Or do we reject it? The prophecy from Zechariah that John mentions didn't just look forward to Jesus coming on a donkey. It looked further forward to when Jesus will come again for the last time, when he will come and he will judge everybody, when he will decide whether to accept the people who believed in him or whether he will reject the people who rejected him. There is no middle option. It will be the difference of forever with Jesus or forever without Jesus. John writes in chapter 3, verse 36, one of my favourite verses because I like clear things. Whoever believes in Jesus has eternal life, but whoever rejects Jesus will not see life because God's wrath remains on them. So three last things, three responses that we can do today. The first one is, if you're here and you have not accepted Jesus as your King, maybe you're thinking about it today for the first time, can I say, come over to Jesus today? Please don't walk out this church if you're thinking about coming over to Jesus today. Come and talk to me after, talk to David. We would love to talk to you whatever the next steps might be. That's the first response. Secondly, if you have already come over to Jesus, verse 19 says that those who went over to Jesus spread the word about him. We've been looking at this for the last few weeks in our evangelism series, and we're going to be focusing on this for, you know, a new focus on evangelism or refreshed focus for the next couple of years. This week is Easter. Wow, what an opportunity to name Jesus to people. How can you talk about Easter without naming Jesus? Take the opportunity this week, and as Sarah said earlier, invite people to our Good Friday family service, invite them to the cafe it's Saturday morning, to the Easter egg hunt on Saturday afternoon, to Easter service on Sunday morning. Spread the word. And then lastly, take your palm cross away today. Do take one and let it remind you that if you believe in Jesus, that he has already saved you. And that Jesus, who has the power over death, lives and reigns as your King. Amen.